This program is presented by the MCTV Network, a service of the City of Midland, Michigan. This presentation coincides with programming on Midland Government Television, covering government affairs in the City of Midland.
The following presentation of the Midland City Planning Commission will begin in a moment. The Midland City Planning Commission is responsible for overseeing the city's master plan, conducting public hearings, and offering recommendations to the City Council on a wide range of local land use issues. The Planning Commission consists of 9 Midland residents who are appointed by the City Council. The Planning Commission meets 2 Tuesdays per month at 7 p.m. in Council Chambers at City Hall. This presentation is provided by the MCTV Network, a service of the City of Midland. Replays of this meeting can be found on MGTV Channel 188 on Charter Spectrum, through Channel 99 on AT&T UVerse, or on demand at www.cityofmidlandmi.gov. Select meetings are available on MCTV Network's Government Affairs podcast channel.
Okay, welcome to the regular meeting of the Midland City Planning Commission for Tuesday, October 27th, 2020. This meeting is being held electronically due to the COVID-19 pandemic. And we'll get into the meeting agenda. So this meeting is now called to order. And we'll have a roll call. Mr. Marshall, would you please call roll?
Yes. Bain.
Here.
Seibel.
Here.
Broderick.
Here.
Hine.
Here.
Panasik.
Here.
Kohlinger.
Here.
Rogers. And Mayville.
Here. Okay, we do have a quorum. So we'll move on to the next item in the agenda, item number 3, approval of the minutes. Are there any changes? Anybody have any changes?
I have a potential addition we might want to discuss. Would it help the City Council if we were to put in the hours of operation for the coffee shop? That's one of the discretionary criteria. And while we didn't have any objections to it, is that appropriate to put in, or is that minor enough we can just let go? I'm open on that, but.
It's certainly something that we could add in. Chairman, if I could just jump in for clarity on that. And it would be up to the commission if they think it's something that should be made into the minutes. It was discussed and it was brought up rather firmly by the applicant. So I think we have enough information to make the put them in, but I'd be looking for consensus on the commission.
Yeah, is it really needed to be put in or something? I wasn't at the last meeting, so if the others could comment, that'd be appreciated.
My reason for asking the question is it was among the discretionary criteria, or we could put it in as a contingency. So I just asked what the hours were, and I got a very clear response on what he anticipated the hours to be. And, you know, they were reasonable. They were like 6 to 9 Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 Saturday, and 7 to 6 on Sunday. So it didn't raise in my mind to, you know, causing any issues or needing to, you know, clamp down on it.
Okay, so it was something you took into consideration then.
It's something that I took into consideration as much as I asked the question, but the answer was entirely satisfactory to my view of thinking.
Okay. Seems like it's something that should go in. Comments from others?
I don't have any. This is Commissioner Panasik. I don't have any objection to putting that in there.
Pretty fine.
Adding the hours.
Okay, any objections from anybody?
This is Commissioner Seibel. I move we accept the minutes from last meeting with the addition of the hours for the coffee shop.
Commissioner Kohlinger, I second.
Okay, let's have a roll call vote.
Okay. Kohlinger.
Yes.
Mayville.
Yes.
Panasik.
Yes.
Hine.
Yes.
Broderick?
Yes.
Seibel?
Yes.
And Bain?
Yes.
Okay, that's been approved. The minutes from last meeting with that one addition. All right, thank you. Let's move on to item number four. There are no public hearings tonight, so we'll move to item five. We do have one item under old business tonight, and that is item A, site plan number 404. It was a request by the Zaremba Group LLC for a plan review and approval of a 10,640 square foot Dollar General store located at 400 South Sandow Road. And for tonight, we had the public hearing at the last meeting. So we'll move into deliberation, I believe, is where we're at on the agenda. Is that correct?
That is correct, Chairman. I do have some additional information that was contained within the staff memo. I am prepared to do a presentation on that. So if you're agreeable, I can jump into that too.
Yes, please go ahead and provide the additional information.
Sounds good. I will jump in. Okay, so as you indicated, this is site plan 404, the request of Dollar General with their agent Zaremba Group to develop a new 10,640 square foot retail store at the corner of Isabella Street, M20, and South Sandow Road. Property is 400 South Sandow Road, and the zoning district is RC Regional Commercial. You may recall from last meeting, the location of this site, we're to the north of Renee Drive, to the east of Sandow Road, south of M20. And the surrounding land uses is a bit of a collection between office, some light commercial, high density residential to the immediate east. And then you do have single family homes that are down on Renee Street, Shelley Lane, Gay Street, and Leanne Drive, all of which are within Homer Township still. So the boundaries of the city limits are very close to where you see these parcel lines highlighted here on the image. If we zoom in on the site, you can see that it is vacant. One of the notable features though is this large power line that runs diagonally through the property. There is a sizable easement that runs underneath it with that and has some limitations. Not allowing for the building to be located under that, but it does allow for things like a driveway access and stormwater management and landscaping. The zoning districts very much match the mixture of land uses that we have in this area, office service across Sandow to the west, regional commercial to the north and to the northwest, and then that RB multiple family residential to the immediate east. The zoning districts to the south that are out in Homer Township are residential in nature. And so there is the buffer of Renee Drive between those zoning districts and the more intensive regional commercial, as well as this power line, which does form a bit of a barrier in the fact that it limits where a commercial development can take place in relation to that intersection of Renee and Sandow Road. You may recall seeing the site plan at our last meeting. I do have a couple highlights on some changes that they have made, but this illustration shows the ability of delivery trucks to navigate into the interior of the site, utilizing a T turnaround type of setup. This would be very similar for the refuse collection, which would go to the dumpster, which would be located here, enclosed according to city standards. And the bulk of the building is actually set off substantially from Sandow Road and very much to the eastern portion of the site, with parking that would surround on the west of the building and on the north side, with the single driveway access coming off of South Sandow Road. Speaking of access, there are no new curb cuts going on to M20 that are proposed. Looking at the landscaping plan, you can see the variety of trees and shrubs that would extend throughout a vast majority of the site, surrounding the stormwater areas that would be located underneath the power line and within the easement, as well as to the northern part of the site. There are some drainage swales in both areas, and then landscaping that would provide a buffer on the south side, immediately adjacent to Renee Drive. So at the last meeting, I did talk about the compliance with the overall site layout. There were a number of items that were listed as being outstanding. I can report that the applicant has satisfied all of those outstanding items, and that includes revisions to the water main, inclusion of a fire hydrant close to the building within that 400 feet rule required by the fire marshal, inclusion of the public sidewalk on South Soundar Road, revision to the sanitary sewer connection to connect it to the pump station. They've revised their photometric plan to be compliant with the city standards, and they've also included that parking detail to show the double striping of parking. So with that, there are the two outstanding items that are very customary to be done during the time of a building permit issuance. That includes a final stormwater management plan and permit, and then a final soil erosion and sedimentation control permit to the satisfaction of the engineering and building departments, respectfully. The public hearing was held back on October 13th. Tonight is consideration of final consideration of that as articulated in the staff memo. Since we last met, we did receive one public comment in writing, which addressed a number of concerns related to traffic in the immediate area, as well as commercial development. There was questions as to kind of how the notification process works. And one thing I do want to make clear and just establish for the record, we are required to notify all property owners within 300 feet, and that's both within the city of Midland jurisdiction and outside the city of limits. So property owners that were within the 300 feet did receive the mailing notice, whether they were in the city or out in Homer Township. We do have the documentation supporting the mailings that went out. In addition to that, of course, we do provide that notice in the newspaper. As it relates to some of the questions and concerns around traffic, we do have the traffic consultant of the city that takes a look at site plans like this. The scale of the site plan itself is rather small, and so it does not trigger any type of intensive traffic study. A lot of the concerns that were articulated, at least in the comment in opposition related to traffic on Olson Road and some other surroundings streets that are out in the county and therefore under the county road commission's jurisdiction, we don't customarily look at that wide of a view when it comes to site plans, since we're very much concerned about meeting the criteria on the site. That being said, when we do have uses like this that are located near intersections like Sandow Road and Isabella Street, it is customary for the city to reach out to MDOT to see if they do have any comments from us. I did reach out to Bill Mayhew at the Mount Pleasant TSC office, which does have the oversight of M20 between Mount Pleasant and Midland. And he indicated that there are 9 warrants that require changes to the intersection, maybe signalization or other things in the future. He doesn't believe that the scale of the site is going to trigger any of those warrants and therefore require MDOT to do any type of updates. He did also reinforce the fact that they are very much agreeable to the fact that the site plan does have the access coming off of Sandow and not off of M20. So there was discussion that took place there. And that's some information I did want to relay as it relates to traffic concerns. That covers what I came prepared to discuss. I can entertain any questions if there are any from the commission, and I'll pass that over to you, Chairman.
Yeah, any questions for Grant, please?
Grant, this is James Bain. Just a quick follow-up on the traffic in Sandow Road. That's under the county's control as well.
So yes, when Sandow Road is within the city limits, which is at the moment just Renee to M20, it's technically the city's under the city control.
Okay.
But then as soon as it goes south from there, it is out in the county and the County Road Commission.
That answers my concern, is we don't need to bring the county in with respect to the Sandow and M20. You've talked to we are the relevant jurisdiction on Sandow. And yes. The state is on M20. Okay, that's thanks correct. A lot.
Yep.
Any other questions? No, doesn't sound like there are any. Let me ask the commissioners, are you okay if I open up to comments, if anybody from the public wants to comment, or do you want to go into deliberation?
This is Commissioner Panasik. I'm open to that if it's anything new that anybody wants to add.
Okay. Anybody else?
This is Commissioner Kohlinger. Just confirming that while facilitating the public hearing on this last time, there were no comments in opposition or in support at that time.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let's go ahead. If there are any public comments, if the moderator would open up for any comments, and if there are, if you would please state your name and address first.
And just as a reminder to those that have joined us, to unmute, if you are joining us by computer, would be to the bottom left of your screen. If you're joining us by audio via phone, it would be star six to unmute.
It doesn't sound like there is anybody chiming in. Is there anybody, moderator, that's tried to get in?
There's three people. They are allowed to talk now, and no one has signaled that they're trying to encant, so I believe they have nothing.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, let's close that segment there and move into deliberation then by the commissioners. So please have some discussion and comments relative to this site plan, and we must consider it tonight.
This is James Bain. If nobody else has anything, I mean, they met all the objective criteria, for, in my opinion, and we're under a pretty clear direction, you know, both from the law and everything else, that that's what our purview is. So I support this.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else?
Yeah, Commissioner Panasik, I echo that. I think it's met all the criteria, so I'm in support.
Yeah, this is Commissioner Kohlinger. I think we've given ample time for public input, both at the last meeting and at this meeting. And in addition, I think at the time of the last meeting, if there was any concern, it was with the number of outstanding contingencies, but the applicant assured us at that time that they would make those changes, and it looks like they already have. So that's really encouraging from my standpoint.
Okay, thank you. Any others? If not, does anybody want to entertain a motion?
This is James Bain. I'll move that we accept it with the two contingencies.
Commissioner Panasik, I second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Bain and second by Commissioner Panasik. Any last discussion by anybody? No, let's move to a roll call vote then. Mr. Marshall, if you would please do a roll call vote.
Okay, and this is to approve site plan 404 with the two contingencies highlighted in the staff memo.
Yes.
All right. Hine.
Yes.
Broderick.
Yes.
Seibel.
Yes.
Bain.
Yes.
Kohlinger.
Yes.
Panasik.
Yes.
And Mayville.
Yes. Okay, we have approval of that. So that will then move on to, that doesn't move on. This is the final approval, right? This is our first one we've done like this.
That is correct.
Okay, great. Thank you. Let's move on to the agenda, item number six. Are there any public comments that are unrelated to items on the agenda? And we'll just pause to see if anybody wants to come in. If you do, please state your name and address, please. That's probably long enough pause. All right, let's go on to seven. Item seven, there's no new business. Item eight, there is one item under communications. The results of the park and recreation plan survey relating to the master plan. Mr. Marshall, are you going to go over that?
I will, yes. I'm going to share my screen again to highlight a document that we had that's exported out of our software that we use for these public input surveys. It's called eCity Hall, and it generates a report like this that actually summarizes the information and the results that we had. So there's a few questions I did want to dive through that related specifically to the master plan. One of the things I wanted to point out was the survey results, which again was over 1,300 people participated in the survey. Overwhelmingly, we had very good feedback that was provided to us. As you can see in this first question here, those that did the survey have a very high satisfaction ranking or rating when it comes to the city parks that they have visited. So that's one of the most important things is folks that participated in this, not only do they have a very keen interest in the parks, but they also find them to be satisfying overall. They did have an opportunity to provide some additional things. I don't want to go through those specific results. A lot of this will be dove more into in detail with the Parks and Rec Commission next month. A main thing, and I think this is one of the things that probably a lot of us know, is walking or biking distance to a city park is not hard to come by in most parts of the city. We did have survey responses that came from folks that live in Freeland or in Larkin Township and outside the city limits that still use the city's park system. And so a lot of times when they answered no, that was folks that actually just simply live further out and drive to the city's park system. But it's probably not uncommon or a shocking part to anyone to see that we have a very high response rate when it comes to those that live within walking and biking distance. When it came to the parks being free and clean of litter, we did have quite a bit of either agree or strongly agree in response to that. That was very similar in the echoes of the parks being well maintained. One of the other questions that we had related to the master plan was this idea of value and how do our park systems equate to how people perceive the value of their neighborhood. And so we asked this question number 20, which was living within walking or biking distance to a park adds value to the neighborhood. And we found that the overwhelming response rate to that was that they either strongly agree or agree. Similarly, when asking the question, would you consider the city's parks and recreation assets when choosing to live in Midland or within a particular neighborhood of the city? Again, we had very high responses for either strongly agreeing or agreeing when it comes to understanding choice as it relates to the park system. The natural environment, that's a lot of the things when we had open-ended questions or fill-in-the-blank opportunities, we heard a lot about how people like the park system because it takes, it changes the built environment from houses or businesses and other things like that and creates a very nice green space that can be easily enjoyed. A lot of folks that participated said that was of particular value when it came to the stay-at-home orders earlier this spring and kind of the ongoing pandemic that we have. They found that there was a lot of retreat to the natural areas of the city, and being able to get out and walk through those parks and things was something that they really enjoyed. All of that, of course, is a very natural part of the community, and so being able to provide trees and grass and natural areas is something that I know was very intentional with the city over time as things were planned and as different developments took place. And so it's nice to see that the current survey responses are agreeable to that idea. As it relates to safety, we did have a high response rate on folks feeling safe or very safe. With that, we did get some questions or comments related to lighting. I'd say probably on average, the city of Midland across the area is probably a little bit below average when it comes to street lighting. And a lot of that just is because of our tree canopy that we have on a lot of streets. And so light, even if it is present, is masked by a lot of that tree canopy. But that's one thing that we heard from folks was maybe some intentional lighting improvements. And that's something that the plan itself will start to look at a little bit more. Number 25 was what type of facilities or improvements would you like to see added to the city's parks and or parks facilities? This wasn't maybe a question that we asked as it relates to the master plan, but the thing that I thought was rather interesting was this idea of walking and bike pathways. And that response, that high response rate was a common theme through the survey responses, which articulated this idea that, okay, we live in close proximity to our natural areas or our parks. We were able to bike and walk there, but it'd be nice if we had a little bit more investment take place in creating a better environment for that. So not only was there particular interest of adding walking and bike paths into the parks, but also making connections between parks. One particular note that was made repeatedly was Stratford Park and being able to provide some type of pathway that could go out to Stratford Park that could link into the city. Similar with City Forest, as well as like Huron Park and some of the other parks that are able to get to via public property, but maybe aren't exactly, it's not very clear exactly what path should be taken to get there. So that was a theme that we saw. And I think that's where we're going to see a lot of play and overlap, and hopefully reinforcement of one plan to the other is around connectivity. We have all of these fantastic park assets that people think are valuable to their neighborhoods. Now, how can we think about maybe improving the opportunities for people to get from their homes to the parks, and to do it through a variety of means, not just having to drive to those locations, but maybe bike or walk as well. Wanted to roll through. Question 30 was a very similar question to number 20, which was, do the City of Midland's parks and recreation offerings add value to your life as a resident? Vast majority was either yes or undecided, but over 87% of people thought that that was adding value to them. 32 was a question that we asked related to kind of neighborhoods and thinking about parks in neighborhoods and other amenities that are offered as well. It was a bit of a mixed bag, as you can see here, when we asked folks to choose the amenities that are located in or near your neighborhood, and which one would you give high priority. And so we did have a high response rate for outdoor recreation facilities like playgrounds, paved non-motorized trails, which also could be used for biking and walking, and then park was another thing that was rather high. Indoor fitness facility, grocery store, gas station weren't as highly ranked when it came to prioritizing those. This was, I think, an interesting thing for us, for me to see as looking at the city from a planning perspective. These amenities are already within most of our park or most of our neighborhoods themselves. There could be opportunities for improving on them and kind of what we've talked about with the connectivity. But it was nice to see that a lot of that fabric that we already have within the city, that we can simply expand upon that. If we would have had high rates for grocery stores and gas stations, it would have been interesting to think, okay, now that may be more of a desire to try and insert more neighborhood commercial into some parts of the city that maybe don't have that. So we don't really see sort of those desires right now as it relates to this. I think that's a question that we're going to want to ask a little bit more in probably a variety of ways as we go through the master planning process. But to give us an understanding as to get us started, I thought this was a rather interesting point of data. Uh, 34 also related to something with the master plan, and that's the idea of safe and easy access to parks by walking, biking, or another form of non-motorized transportation. Most folks said either they strongly agree or they agree. And in the questions that we got, or in the answers of why did you respond that way, we did get a lot of folks that talked about maybe some sidewalk improvements, some better connectivity, and sort of those things that I had already kind of mentioned as well. That was our last question that we had specific to the master plan. And I think it was, just to kind of maybe add some additional comments, I think there wasn't anything in here that sort of surprised us, but maybe one of the things, and I don't have all of those specific answers in this summary report, but folks did have some very specific updates as to kind of what they envision across the community, which I kind of thought was exciting to hear. I mentioned one about Stratford Park and also about City Forest. There was some thoughts of possibly pathways along or expanded pathways along Wheeler connecting to Plymouth Park and further into the interior of the city. And you can tell that people have thought about this, and maybe they learned that there could be improvements by trying to walk or bike to some of their parks as well. So it's a good place for us to start. And I think from my perspective, it was a bit of a success for us to have these questions in this plan survey so that we can kind of continue the conversation and continue to move things forward. Chairman, I don't know if there's any questions by the commission on these results or any other comments.
Anybody have any questions, please? Comments?
Grant, this is James Bain. Could you scroll down just a little bit to show the demographics of who answered?
Yes.
We don't need to discuss it. I just want to just see that.
Yep. Our largest age group is the 35 to 44.
Okay.
Yep. And the next bit of questions, I won't scroll through those. They're a bit of, it was simply the ages of people in your household.
Okay, yeah, this is the one I wanted to just see. So, okay, so it's not skewed, maybe high school kids who this was a project, or, you know, maybe people who are very senior because, you know, was dropped off at, you know, some senior facilities. It looks like it's a well-rounded age demographic. Thanks a lot. That's all I have.
Yep.
Great. Anybody else? Comments, questions? No, it looks good. It's some good feedback, Grant, I think. Kind of gives some information for us to consider as we go into master planning, hopefully next year sometime. Yes. And as we go through it. So I think it provides some good basis for things. And I liked your comments about connectivity. And we can look at connectivity to neighborhoods, parks, and also to our commercial areas and larger node areas like downtown and central business district, those types of things. So that's something for us to keep in mind. So I appreciate you bringing that up.
Certainly. Yeah. This will all be discussed in greater detail, as well as the results of, there's a consultant that the Parks and Rec Department has been working with, Pam Blau, who's done the city's last plan and been integral in some of the park master planning recently. She's worked with staff and also reviewed the survey results as well as staff. With that, there's a draft list of goals and objectives that will be presented to the Parks and Rec Commission during their meeting on November 4th. So those that may be listening, or for all of you on the commission, we'd encourage you to participate in and kind of stay tuned for the results of those to be discussed in greater detail with that commission.
Excellent. Any last comments from anybody in the commission? No, thank you, Grant. Appreciate it. Excellent update. Okay, next item on the agenda, item number 9, report of the chairperson. I was not at the last meeting, but I have a question. Was there anybody that attended the Michigan Association of Planning that has any comments? And if you attended, and if there's one takeaway or something, I don't know if you talked about this at the last meeting, but I'd like to just hear if somebody had gone and if you found something really cool there that you want to share.
This is James Bain. I did go and it was very worthwhile. I mean, one of the benefits of not having it in person was that it made a lot more affordable and a lot better attendance, I think. And I was kind of interested in some of the planning around, hey, winter happens. These are the kind of things you do, for some of them maybe more appropriate to Parks and Rec, but also just to general planning, you know, downtowns, and what should you do to actually embrace winter rather than just having the attitude that you're shutting down and see you in spring.
Okay, thank you. Anybody and else?
There were interesting history on how housing legislation has led to, you know, segregation implications that we're still dealing with, and how some of the early post-war benefit, you know, government benefits were pretty much restricted you know, to the, you know, white guys, and how public housing was kind of built up for, you know, minorities, and how some of those segregation impacts are still being felt.
Good. Anything else, James?
Well, Brad was very much, you know, evidence and chairing some of the sessions, and, you know, so Midland was represented through that.
No, nice. Anybody else attend?
This is Commissioner Hine. I also attended. I found it very, very functional, because a number of the presentations were pre-recorded, so you could fit it into your schedule and see them when you wanted to see them. And actually, you could preview them and determine if, well, was this something I really wanted to spend time in? And a lot of it was relevant. I found one of the things that I did do is I went into the, if you want to call it, the exhibitors lounge, and pulled up, and I cannot recall the firm anymore, but they've been working with Mount Pleasant and redid their master plan. And it really was quite interesting to scroll through it, to look at the detail, how they connected objective to action plans, et cetera, which implies that as they move forward, they consult this in detail very religiously. Really, to make it work, they have to do it. So I thought it was pretty good. I found there was a lot of discussion about downtown, town central, and walkability. So how about another round of like traffic calming? No, just kidding. But I mean, truly, it is. How can we make this town walkable and, you know, suitable? And the complete streets concept. So you have walkers and bicyclists, etc. And I think this, you know, part of what I'm observing in our neighborhood is that we see a heck of a lot of people walking these days, and many times on streets, just because there are so many, etc. So I think it's great. So it was a good session, very good.
Yeah, your comment about what people walking, I've seen a lot more of that through the spring, summer, and early fall in my neighborhood as well. And one of the things that my wife and I noticed was people walking in the street instead of the sidewalk. And I'm like, why? But something that we noticed a lot more than usual. People used to walk in the sidewalk. They seem to be walking in the street.
Well, being one of those walkers who walks in the street whenever I can, it's because the sidewalks are somewhat uneven. They're a trip hazard. So you got a much better footing and a much better area to walk in, especially if you're walking with your spouse down the road. So we try to use the roads which are less heavily traveled, and we do travel and walk in the road whenever we can. If we can't, you know, we're cognizant of street traffic and we give them rights away, etc.
I wondered, because we always walk, we always go on the sidewalk, so
right. And then you know, we get spoiled a little bit, because in some of the school areas, and even in the old Cook grade school, which no longer exists, the sidewalk is wide. So you have a wide sidewalk, you have good walking. On the opposite side of the street, you have a traditional narrow sidewalk, which is being encroached by shrubs and trees, etc. So it becomes a single file kind of thing. So that's why we end up on the road quite a bit.
All right, yeah. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, just to second that, at night, those trip hazard and uneven sidewalks really become an issue. Like when I'm walking home from a Loons game, I'll walk there on the sidewalk. But if I'm walking back, it's typically in the street, because, you know, trees push up sidewalks and, you know, it's pretty easy to slip.
Hey, Grant, just popped in my mind, these uneven sidewalks, people are walking in the street. It sounds like a safety issue. Is that something that the engineering department looks at?
It is. So every year we do have comments that can come into engineering, as well as public services, when it specifically for sidewalk improvements. And so I think it's around this time of year that actually we ask for public to provide comments. It's not uncommon for our public services folks to go out and shave down some areas where they have heaved when they can do that. Other times it does take redoing of the sidewalk in those locations. But we do have a vast, a very vast sidewalk network. And so even though we do have incremental improvements to that, it doesn't take much but a few freeze thaws to make enough of a trip hazard. So it is kind of an endless game that we play. But this is some good commentary, because I think it being out there and kind of experiencing it, I know one of the things that we have as a requirement citywide is anytime you're next to a local street and a non-arterial street, it's a 4-foot sidewalk that's required. It's 5 feet when you're closer to or when you're on a main road throughout the city. And then in downtown, we actually regulate that there's a 6-foot sidewalk. And it's amazing the difference between a 4-foot sidewalk and a 6-foot sidewalk when you're walking with other people. So little things like that, I think, are important to pay attention to, because how we're going about planning and thinking through a little bit of change can go a long way.
Okay, great. Anybody else that attended any of the sessions? Doesn't sound like it. James and Dave, thank you for doing that. Appreciate your comments. All right, let's move on. Report of the planning director.
Chairman, we have not had any recent action by city council on items. Last night was just a procedural step to schedule that public hearing for the conditional use coffee house drive-through. So nothing new to report on that front.
Okay. I see right now there's no items for the next agenda. Has that changed?
I don't believe so. So we'll double check again tomorrow on items. But if not, we will probably recommend canceling that.
Okay, thank you. Does anybody have a last motion?
This is Commissioner Hine. I move we adjourn.
Nobody wants a second?
This is Commissioner Seibel. I second the motion.
Okay, thanks, Ted.
You had to get off mute there.
So we have a motion and a second to adjourn. If you would take a roll call vote, please.
All right. Kohlinger.
Yes.
Bain.
Yes.
Seibel.
Yes.
Roderick.
Yes.
Hine.
Yes.
Panasik.
Yes.
And Mayville.
Yes. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everyone. Have a great night.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Have a good night.
This program is presented by the MCTV Network, a service of the City of Midland, Michigan. This presentation coincides with programming on Midland Government Television, covering government affairs in the City of Midland.